Alright, for the district clerk, part one, administration, I'm Jim Cobra.
Morning. Please be seated. For the record, this is case number 090C005957-91B. We're here in reference to a motion for judgment debtor examination to produce documents in opposition that was filed in respect to this matter. Are you Adam McMillan?
Yes, Your Honor.
And Seth Carlson, Tara Zimmerman are here on behalf of the Mr. Reza Zandian.
Zandian, Your Honor.
Zandian?
Yes.
Thank you. We're here in reference to this particular matter. Mr. McMillan, it's your motion in respect to this matter. The court's reviewed this. The Supreme Court did affirm our prior decisions in this case on October 15th, 2015, in respect to this matter. And the primary issue, it looks to me like looking at it, is where can you depose him and do the creditor's examination in respect to that. So, and I have a question on that for both sides, because I went back and reread the pleadings, which I tend to do. And in two of the prior pleadings that were filed by John Peter Lee, which were the prior attorney in this matter, he indicates one is that Mr. Zandia was at all times in California and a resident of California. And then he also indicates and filed another statement when he withdrew his counsel in this particular case, indicating that Mr. Zandia was a resident of San Diego, California, in respect to this, and resided at 8775 Costa Verde Boulevard in respect to that matter. So my question is, why wouldn't I rely on the prior representations of legal counsel as to what his address and residency is? To both of you, I guess. And I understand you want to claim he's a resident of Las Vegas or Carson City in respect to that, but it seems to me that the prior representations by counsel, his counsel, would be binding on me to some extent in regards to what I do or don't do. So that's my question. So,
yeah, I think that's a good question. And the problem with Zandian overall throughout this entire case is trying to find where he actually is. You know, we had problems serving him with the original complaint, the amended complaint, and then...
Well, I'm very familiar with all
that.
I'm trying to figure out and how where we're going to go and what we're going to do, but...
So there's manifold issues with that. I don't know how to answer that question because at some level, I guess we do have to recognize that people do move and change their residence. However, at the same time, he has never provided this court with an updated address.
And under NRS 21.270, is it the judgment of debtors outside the county in which the judgment debtor resides? Is it where he resides at the time of the commencement of the action, at the time of when you seek to enforce the judgment? I mean, otherwise, they shifting sands, they can move anywhere and claim.
Well, I would also answer the question this way. We have a judgment that is against all defendants, and two of those defendants are corporate entities. One is a California entity, one is a Nevada entity. And so under that umbrella as well, we could pin a debtor's examination in Nevada, whether it was under one of the defendants, or I think we could also use the fact that Mr. Zandian is an officer of several Nevada entities, and several of those are active entities, and he is an active member of those entities. And pursuant to the discovery rules in the debtor's examination process, I believe that under those rules we could also bring him here, if not somewhere else in Nevada, for a debtor's examination. And so I think the rules clearly state that officers of defendant corporations, you know, they are required to appear for examinations. So I think there's manifold ways that we can get him here. And also you have Zandian being here in Nevada signing affidavits for transferring interests in property. You know, he signed those affidavits here in Carson City, Nevada. He's signed other documents and done other things in Nevada at the time he said he was in France. So I have difficulty understanding, and maybe defense counsel has a good explanation for all that, but one of the glaring things that I've found out, is, or at least in reading the records, is in their final reply to plaintiff's motion on page 3, they say that Zandian's French residency permit had a date of entry to France of March 15, 2012, and an expiration date of August 5th, 2015. So ostensibly, his residency in France has concluded pursuant to that permit. Plus, there's an issue with just the facts. In his affidavit in support of the motion to set aside the judgment, he said he was a resident of France and had been since August of 2011. And again, in this reply on page 3, his French residency permit says his date of entry was March 15, 2012. So again, the problem plaintiff has is just trying to figure out where he is and establish that. But we know for a fact by the affidavits he signed where he was transferring interests in real property in Nevada, he signed those affidavits here in Carson City.
In front of a notary public.
And he's done that this year, is my understanding.
What about the scope of the discovery? Because I was looking at that as well. And it seems to me that, obviously, as long as things are relevant under discovery, you have a chance to sort of discover them. That's kind of the general rule to some extent. But should it be unlimited? I mean, could it be narrowed down to any and all documents, transfers, and everything else that took place after the complaint was filed in this matter on December 11th, 2009?
I think plaintiff would be agreeable to that. I think that would be appropriate because the issue that we're dealing with and grappling with is we've seen what we believe appears to be the dirtying of titles of land here in Nevada that occurred
after the judgment and everything else.
Right. So I believe, as Your Honor suggested, I think that would be an appropriate limitation if that is necessary.
I was just looking. I tend to look at things and read them and try to figure out what's fair. So
yeah, that sounds fair to me. I don't see a problem with that. I think that would be appropriate. The issue that we were considering in going back to 2007.
Well, there was one agreement that went back to 2003 that somebody mentioned that may tie in on how he was making the transfers now later on, but that's something if the transfers took place after 2009, you can relate back to that agreement and see how that ties in. So,
yeah, that was just as you pointed out, our concern is just understanding that agreement by itself and understanding transfers from 2007 on, because this case arose out of Zandian's transfer of my client's patents in 2007, and so we were just going back to 2007 and beyond for that reason alone, but it does make sense to limit it from the time the complaint was filed because that began this case, and so we would understand and we would agree with that.
I have one question, Mr. Carlson. There was some indication about Ms. Zimmerman basically having been my law clerk, which she was. And I don't know if she ever worked on this case or not back then. I don't even know if it existed at that time in respect to that. So my question is, if she did, I'm not sure it's appropriate for her basically then to be involved in any way. I think there's maybe even a rule somewhere that kind of indicates that there's a conflict. So I'm pointing it out. I'm not sure if she did or didn't. That's a long time ago. I can't remember back that far. So.
And, Your Honor, in our briefing, we addressed that rule in terms of Ms. Zimmerman, and she has no recollection of working on it. And I think even if the time frame worked out to where she was a clerk for you at the time, you were entering default judgment, so on and so forth, she doesn't remember that, and we're not dealing with that part of it. So even if she had any knowledge of it, we're in this different phase now of the the Supreme Court's affirmed your prior decisions, and she doesn't have any recollection of that. And
I don't have any recollection of her ever working on it either. So, and it's fair to raise that and everything else in respect to that. So I just want to put that on the record, and I want to make sure from the record I have no recollection of her ever working on this case. It's been in existence for some time, but I think based upon the determination by the Nevada Supreme Court, we're going into a different phase in respect to that. So I'm not sure there's any conflict aspects in respect to that anyway. So just
yeah, and certainly, just for my firm's sake, Your Honor, Ms. Zimmerman was hired after one of my partners, Jason Woodbury, left the firm after his election as district attorney.
She's now downstairs on the second floor
right.
as our new DA, so small town.
So the litigation that I inherited from Mr. Woodbury, I'd say Ms. Zimmerman probably touches 80% of my litigation cases, so there wasn't any concerted effort of saying we need to assign her to this case because of her prior position with this court.
Now, getting to you, where's this? I don't buy France. I want you to know that. I think it's a nice shot in the dark, but I don't buy France at all. Because this man has basically been in California. Every time everybody's tried to serve him here, there, or anywhere, he always comes up with a new address in respect to that. And John Peter Lee, who was his counsel, made a special appearance, clearly indicated what he felt his address is, which you're required to do under the rules when you withdraw as counsel in respect to that. So why should I not order him to come to Nevada if he's signing affidavits here in transfers under in the space of a notary? Or my other alternative is ordered to be done in San Diego County at a place designated by the plaintiff, date and time. If he doesn't show up, then we can look at the sanctions that they did in the Rush versus World Series of Golf Inc. case, or we can look under the rules and then limit the scope of discovery. So tell me where we are and what I should do or shouldn't do.
Well, and Your Honor, I think the one answer that is clear, whether you buy the French residency or not, is that Carson City is inappropriate. If you take a look at the plaintiff's original complaint, I believe it's in paragraph...
December 11th.
Right, December 11th. I believe it's paragraph 4. Even the plaintiff alleges residency on information and belief is either San Diego or Las Vegas. Neither of those locations are in this county, in Carson City, which we look to under NRS 21-2.
Well, then he was served at some residence in Sacramento. So by one individual, I went back and read it in detail, basically he denied certain things. But so is Las Vegas a viable place for your client?
My understanding is he does not reside there. And I look at the arguments about where documents have been notarized. A notary isn't attesting to someone's residency. A notary is attesting to this person, this particular individual identified themselves to me. The notary has received satisfactory information that the person signing the document is the person who they say they are, and they're attesting to where the document was signed, and nothing more.
What about San Diego?
I think that's a potential, but again, my understanding is he does reside in France.
Well, I'm not going to, if okay. I do anything, it's going to be San Diego. Carson's may be questionable because of the affidavits. We'll allow you a chance to respond. But it's probably going to be in San Diego County at a law firm designated by the plaintiff at a place that they designate, at a date and time that they designate, giving him some time to travel from France if he is in France. Looks to me from signing notaries, maybe we aren't sure where he is. And basically limiting the discovery to any and all documents or anything after that date. Now, what about the corporations that are Nevada corporations where he's a designated officer?
Well, I think that ties in, Your Honor. I look at, we have the one Nevada corporation that's a defendant. The other corporations that opposing counsel has discussed, they've never been named as defendants. So we just have the Optima Technology, which is a California corp, the Optima Technology, which is a Nevada corp.
If I can speak to that issue, Your Honor, with regards to the non-party entities, for example, Elko North Fifth Avenue LLC is one of the entities that Mr. Zandian is an active manager of an active corporate entity here in Nevada. So under that umbrella of being part of a Nevada corporate entity, if we serve a subpoena, they would be required to answer and respond to that subpoena under the discovery rules of Nevada. So I think under those rules, those discovery rules, I believe we would be able to depose Mr. Zanyan as an officer of those of that entity or the other entities that he is an officer of. So I think that's another way we can legally require him to appear for a deposition.
And Your Honor, I think that's a little bit gray. I certainly am not going to argue that they can't subpoena other Nevada entities that may have information that would lead to discovering what assets the judgment debtors possess.
But the problem with the gray area is Zanyan has created that gray area.
His turn.
Sorry, I apologize.
But when you take a look at Nevada's corporate law, NRS 78035, subsection 4 and subsection 5, and it talks about the formation of corporations, the original list of officers, board of directors, that statute provides that you can list either the residence or the business address. So if this is an attempt to bootstrap a judgment debtor exam in Carson City because Mr. Zanyan has listed a Carson City address, which could be a business address or a residence address under the statute, just simply having it listed isn't conclusive as to his residency being in Carson City.
I had a case years ago, not that you want to hear war stories, but basically it was a Nevada corporation, and the individual, basically, they owned a residence in Monaco, and basically it was a Nevada entity because you don't ever want to own anything individually in those countries because every time you transfer, the tax goes way up and everything else. So basically it was a Nevada company, and they would just transfer the stock all the time and whenever they were transferring it. And I was representing it. Judgment debtor, trying to get that individual to get here so that we could depose him and make some transfers and do something. And the Honorable Judge Fondi denied me, and I went to the Supreme Court, and I lost at the Supreme Court based upon the fact of whether or not there's sufficient ties in that case. But here I think there's sufficient ties. It's not the same scenario, but to me, in trying to make sure that we do it and not have an appealable issue and go down the road, I'm going to go ahead and order in this case that he appear in San Diego County at a law firm designated by the plaintiff, 30 days out. That gives him time. Some of you pick a date 30 days out. In respect to that, go ahead.
Sorry, on the date and the timing, can we do maybe 60 days out for the actual examination?
That's fine.
And maybe 30 days out for the production of documents?
60 days gets us right around the first year, so why don't we indicate in February? You can set I'm just trying to get past the holidays and everybody else.
Wonderful.
In February, set a date and time in February. You two can talk about the date and time in February and where it's going to be. Production's going to be limited to any and all documents and individuals after December 11th, 2009. And that's all discovery's going to be completed within 45 days, gives a little leeway there. Within 45 days of today's date, and then move forward on the examination at that point in time. If, in fact, he fails to show up, then the court's going to consider a motion for sanctions and proceed under that basis.
Understood, Your Honor.
Does that take care of our issues?
I believe so.
It does, Your Honor. We do have a pending issue in regards to a prior order from this court, and I just want to seek a little direction. We had earlier filed a motion for attorney's fees and costs that were post-judgment. Your Honor awarded those costs and ordered that they be paid within a certain amount of time, and it was 10 days. And that occurred over, I believe, a year ago now. Those have never been paid. What ended up happening was Zanyan, his attorneys filed a notice that he could not afford to pay that judgment. So I don't know if we need to do anything with that, if we need an order to show up.
Let's hold that in abeyance till after the February debtor's examination. And if he fails to show or if he doesn't substantiate anything, you come back on a motion for order to show cause on that.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nothing further.
Thank you. I did go through and read everything. I want you to know, back in, revisited it. I didn't want to, but I did. So thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You bet. Court will be in recess.